Oh, when he opens that book, he'll have eyewitness testimony in the earth as books have been opened. Many of you might be at the throne the day that's open. He's going to call a whole company of people up. Fathers of the church, there's going to be a whole apostolic company, prophetic company, be caught up to see that. They'll watch him open the book, and they'll be sent. There won't be one. There'll be more than one. There'll be many. And they'll be sent from the throne to declare, you are in the last days. That book officially begins the last days, and it officially ends the dispensation of man, and officially begins the 1,000-year millennial reign. So once that book opens, there is no going back. We are in the time right now, and that glorious run of the white horse that will come out. That's the first thing coming out of that book, is the glorious run of the white horse. It's awesome. That's what we want to see, because that is our final days. Man, the things that are moving in the earth right now. I watched a video today of Elon Musk, and he was shaken. You know, he's the one that started AI and the cars and everything. He was so shaken, he called all the AI giants and asked them to stop. They had a meeting because their technology is advancing. Now they can start thinking, operating, and acting just like humans and beyond. And it scared him. And he asked them, we have to roll this back until we find some kind of governance over this. It takes the body of Christ a little while to catch up, you know, in some things. But I'm telling you, there are things moving on the face of this planet right now, that evil is multiplying out there. There are agendas to create an entire different image of man. God's going to intervene, amen? But once he sets that book open, that is the final days of humanity. This is my personal opinion. I don't believe we'll have 7 years left after that book opens, before we're called out of here. And then the 7-year tribulation. I mean, that's how close we are. There's some people think he's going to have now, but there are events, that major milestone events that have to take place on this planet before the Lord comes and gets us. Amen. So he catches up, but there's a lot of events to take place. That's a good thing, because these are the days of the glory. Amen. These are the witness. This is the crowning glory coming over the church, the final. And I think it's going to move like lightning. I think it's going to move at the speed of light. I was thinking David ruled 40 years on his throne. You'll do more in 2 years than he did in 40, because of the way things move now. I mean, when Asbury broke out, everyone knew in 3 days. This whole nation knew about it in 3 days. That's huge. We thought that when Azusa broke out, the whole world found out in 6 months, and we thought it was fast. 3 days. The world knew within a week. Pretty incredible. It's only going to get faster. Everything's going to move faster and faster and faster. Evil and righteousness. But there has to be an intervention of God in the earth in this time, because evil has definitely been determined upon this generation by wicked people in power. But God is going to intervene. A divine intervention. God's solution. With all my heart, I believe it's the crowning glory coming out of the right hand of God. That's going to happen with that book open. I believe he's going to send that out. He's going to send out a precursor of that. A pre-glory. Amen. There's things going to be done. I mean, I'm telling you, we know a few things about the crown. It's awesome. Anyway, I want to share something with you. That's just something that's in my heart. I want you to go to Joshua 5. Before they went into Jericho, Joshua had an encounter with the Lord. Notice what happened here. Verse 12. The manna ceased. That was their provision for 40 years. That was the way things were financed. That's the way they were provided for. That was the way that provision was rolled out for them every day. Fell out from heaven. Literally. Corn fell from heaven every day. Manna. It was heaven's corn. In fact, the Bible says man ate angels' food. This is what the angels eat. So mankind for 40 years got to eat what the angels eat, and they murmured about it. And the manna ceased on the morrow after they had eaten of the old corn of the land. And neither had the children of Israel manna anymore, for they did eat the fruit of the land of inheritance. There is a shift that takes place when we speak about Jericho. It's a wilderness shift from wilderness provision to heavenly provision of inheritance. You move from manna to inheritance at this shift. We're right in the middle of this shift. We have been in for a little while now. Whenever it happens, inheritance comes, a whole new way of doing things. The old order passes, the new order comes. Amen? So, it was at this point, he led them right out into Jericho. And it said, it came to pass when Joshua was by Jericho, he lifted up his eyes and looked. And behold, there stood a man over with a sword drawn in his hand, and Joshua went out to him and said, art thou for? He didn't recognize who it was. It was actually the incarnate Lord Jesus Christ standing there with sword drawn. It says the captain of the host. Because he said, are you with us or against us? Joshua was a warrior, man. He was ready to fight. And the man against with sword drawn in his hand, and Joshua went out and said to him, art thou for us? Or are you my adversary? And he said, nay, but the captain of the Lord of the hosts. Now, when he said Lord of the hosts, is the captain of the angelic armies of heaven. Meaning, he introduced himself like that. Meaning, they were with him. The angelic armies of heaven had already encompassed Jericho. There is no battle of Jericho without angelic forces present. He didn't just say, the Lord. He said, the Lord of hosts. Every time he says the Lord of hosts, it's the Lord of the angelic armies of heaven. He brought them with him. That he had already released them over Jericho. He was about ready to bring the children of Israel into Jericho. So everyone say, when God assigns me a Jericho, you're not alone. Now this one, Jericho happened to be, you could say, the cornerstone stronghold of the entire promised land. God was going to make an example of Jericho. When God gets ready to move, he'll make an example to the world. They'll know he's shown up. He'll make an example. And he was going to make an example of this city. The first thing he did is he commissioned Joshua. Because there was the death of Moses. They're about to go in the promised land. He's commissioned now as the new leader to bring them in. It's a formal commissioning and an eyewitness testimony. That will return in the last days. It will return strongly across the board, all over the earth. There will be apostles receiving mandates, commissions, prophets too. Eyewitness, say eyewitness. For the purpose of not just seeing the Lord, but commissioning under an eyewitness state. That will return. There are people who see the Lord all the time. But when you are commissioned under eyewitness, what you say, heaven will back up. It'll back your words up with authority, with power, with demonstration, with manifestation that's not normal. That's way above the norm. And it's designed to give credibility to what you're saying. Because he's commissioning your message or he's commissioning your calling. For here, he was commissioning him to take the promised land. So God was going to back him up. Just like he did with Moses. He told Moses, go against Pharaoh. And he goes, I don't even know how to speak. He said, stretch forth your rod. I'll do the signs. He goes, when I'm done with Pharaoh, he will let you go. Could you imagine Moses trying to deliver the children of Israel in Egypt without power? Could you imagine him saying, let my people go? It was power and demonstration that broke the back of Pharaoh. And it was consecutive, more, 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 and more, until it broke the will. And even then, Pharaoh was so stubborn that he followed them into the Red Sea and drowned. Swallowed them up into the Red Sea. Hallelujah. So there's a formal commissioning when you're speaking, especially here, because we're going to see the imagery of heaven. We're going to see all the components of that up there that is in this battle. Angels, the crown, the glory, eyewitness testimony. It's all there. Amen? And so there was a commissioning to go into this promised land. You don't always have to have commission to receive your promise. It depends on what promise you're receiving. If it's changing a dimension, a landscape, or a dispensation, you'll have to receive commissioning for that. That's what commission's about. Commission is an act of heaven. Like they were moving from wilderness to promised land. That was a completely different operation because of the brand new operation. There, a commission was required because their leader had already gone on to heaven. And there had to be a new leader commissioned to bring them in. Amen? So once they were commissioned, the Lord comes out to meet Joshua just like he did Moses, exactly the way he did. It wasn't a burning bush, but he said, take off your shoes. You're standing on holy ground. And so he's still standing there. There's no chapter and verses when this happened, okay? Chapter 6 either should have been a part of 5 or this part should have been a part of chapter 6. Because the chapter change, you think that the Lord walked off from him, but he didn't. The Lord is still standing there present in an eyewitness state. That's important. We have a whole series on the apostolic eyewitness. He's going to return. You couldn't be an apostle in the early church without having seen the Lord. It was the number one prerequisite because their number one message is to bear witness, eyewitness testimony of the resurrection. Behold, you receive power to be my witnesses. It's more said you should receive power to be my eyewitnesses. They were empowered to bear witness of his resurrection. And when they chose Matthias, after Judas's death, it said, one must be with us from the day of John till the day he was taken up from us to bear witness of the resurrection. That was his qualification. That's why they had such power on them. Because they were bearing witness. See, it's different. If we had a wreck, and I was with Chuck, and we were riding on jet skis, Chuck crashes into somebody else's boat and they go and call us to court. But Chuck can't make it that day because he's laid up. Just an example. Chuck can't go, so he sends me. But I wasn't there at the wreck. I was on the other side of the lake at the time. But I saw the aftermath. And Chuck told me what happened. He goes, go tell the judge what happened. What do you think the judge would do? He would throw my testimony out because he would ask me, were you there? Did you see it? I said, well, he told me. Now, that doesn't mean we're not to testify of the Lord because our testimony is sure and it is pure. But there's a higher level of testimony. The highest testimony is eyewitness. There's no higher testimony given to man. It's part of the way it works. Moses got it in the burning bush. He didn't witness the burning bush. Go back and read your Bible about the burning bush. He saw the face of God in the burning bush. Joshua receives the eyewitness testimony. That's going to happen. In the early church, the entire upper room saw him. All the apostles, Peter saw him. Like 7 times, I think, 6 or 7 times before he was commissioned by the Lord personally to go out and carry the glory. He was carrying it. The Lord commissioned him, remember? So when something like the crown and its arrival, we're speaking of, there is an eyewitness. It is something to be watching and looking for because he's not going to commission an event like Revelations 5, like carry Job. Was singing, that event is not going to happen without eyewitness testimony. That's my professional opinion. I just don't believe God will open that book without testimony. There are going to be people who are going to see that. John was an eyewitness of it. And he wrote the book and God made it a part of the eternal word of God. When he does actually open that book and set the events of the last day, he's going to bring the world into accountability by that book. So he's going to send apostolic testimony. It's not going to be by one person. There are going to be many that are going to come out and say, no, 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 we saw it. We saw it. We saw it. We were there. So now the Lord is standing there and he's still in the process of commissioning Joshua. Now something's going to happen in this commissioning. Joshua not only gets an eyewitness commission, but he gets exposed to the glory realm. You've heard us talk about this. Say, face of God. He takes a trip in the face of God. He starts tripping. Because of this verse 1 in chapter 6, it sounds like it's a new chapter. The Lord's walked away, had his commissioning, but he's still there. He's still with him. It's important to understand what's happening here because Jericho involved the face of God. That's how he won. He won the battle in the face of God. And I'm going to show you all this imagery is there. It's important. When I pray, I see all this every single day. I see this whole battle and I see every component and I'm aware of every single component that's there. And if you'll see that, you'll understand how this is going to work. Amen. Now Jericho was straitly shut up because of the children of Israel. None went out, none came in. That means they were surrounded. The children of Israel had surrounded Jericho. The angels had surrounded Jericho. God was ready to move. God was ready to make himself known again. Amen. Now, verse 2 actually gets this right. As far as past, present, future is concerned. Watch what the Lord says him. Where was the Lord? Was he still standing in front of him? Oh, you bet he was. He was standing in front of him. And he said, see, I have given you Jericho and the king and the mighty men of valor. Now, notice what he didn't say. He didn't say, see, I'm going to give you Jericho. There is a difference between have given and going to give. If he's going to give me, it means something still has to happen. If he's given it to me, it means it's finished. Done. So if he says, see, I have given you, what is he saying? Where is he saying it from? It's important to know the Lord's still standing in front of him. First, he's in his time zone, and he says, you're on holy ground. Now he's shifting him into a future position. You won't really know he did it until you get into verse 4 or 5. You don't really know what happened to him, or 3, 4, and 5, but he actually moved him when he said, see, I have given. Joshua wasn't still standing in his present time. He actually moved him forward 7 days. Time travel. No, but he did. He shifted him. You wouldn't know this until you understand the face of God and how to read this particular chapter. When you're reading about the face of God, you'll have to go to the literal version. You'll have to read the literal because the literal is the only version it actually captures. However, just like Romans 4 captured, I have made thee a father of nations. But when you start reading in Genesis, it's like, I'm going to do this. But Paul saw it from the face of God and realized that God had said, I already did this. In the face of God, when God speaks from that realm, he's speaking from the realm that's completed or already done. He doesn't differentiate like we do because we're standing in time. He's speaking outside of time. He's speaking 7 days, at least 7 days in front. And you'll see that in a minute. This is hugely important to understand how this battle was won. This is the whole training we've been in for over a year and a half now is the face of God. Understanding how this realm works, because that's how the crown's coming into the earth. Amen. We're not really waiting on the crown. We are in this time, but not in prayer. We go in front. I'm going to read verse 3, verse 4, and verse 5. I'm going to read from the literal standard version. I'm going to show you these components in the face of God that are happening, that are moving. See, verse 2, I've given Jericho. Now, he's standing in front of him, but he's actually got him in front now. And you'll see, he moved him up 7 days. He moved him in front of the battle. He moved him out of time. You'll see this. When you're dealing in the face of God, it's not just what is said, it's where it's said from. What do you mean by that? I can say, I believe I receive, I believe I receive, and I'm standing in a place of now, but I believe I receive. But if I can go to the place in God where it is actually done, and I believe I receive and speak from that realm, there's more authority there. There's more power there. Because your authority has moved into a position that's finished. Your spirit's been moved in a position that's completed. Amen? That is huge when you're dealing with the face of God. Is to learn there are many words in our New Testament that speak of realms that are done, not going to happen. You are complete in Him. To Him He justified, to them He glorified, already did. You're not glorified yet, but you are. In the face of God, you are glorified because there's a realm in the Father outside of time where you're already glorified. Amen. Say, we were raised together with Him, made to sit together with Him. We're actually learning how to sit, but you'll literally sit there in the next dispensation. Let's read this now, verse 2, from the literal. The literal does the same thing in verse 2, because they got it right. Because He is speaking for what we consider past tense, but He actually is standing in the seventh day in the realm of the victory and speaking it over them. See, I have given Jericho and its king into your hand. See what I have given. If I can get you to understand, that is the it factor. He's not only saying it, He's saying, see that I have. See, I have given Jericho and its king. In verse 3, and you, watch this, have surrounded the city. All men of battle going around the city once. Thus, for 6 days, seven priests carrying seven horns of rams before the ark. And on the seventh day, you go around the city seven times. And the priests blow the horns. And now watch this, verse 5. And it hath been in the prolonging of the horn of the ram, in your hearing the voice of the horn, all the people shout with a great shout. Now I'm going to read that from another translation, the Young's, and I'll see what he says. Verse 5, it hath been, I love this one, in the prolongation, say the prolongation of the horn of the Jubilee, and you're hearing the voice of the trumpet, all the people shout a great shout, and the wall of the city hath fallen under it, and the people have gone up, each over against him. The Lord stand in front of him, but they're now in the seventh day, and He's rehearsing the battle from the seventh day. And He's telling him everything that happened. You surrounded the city. See, I have given the city. You surrounded the city and have been in the prolonging of the horn of Jubilee, in the hearing of your ears, the walls of the city have fallen under it. Done. Completed. You see it. You hear it. You're with me where it's happening. So you're where I am. See, we have a revelation of where I am. It's not just where I am, there shall you be also. Sometimes where I am is here. Sometimes where I am is there. It depending, the word is not bound by time. There is the word that was, the word that is, the word that is to come. The word that is to come can translate you into the realm to come and speak from there. That's different than prophecy. What I'm speaking is something different than prophecy. Prophecy is coming to you where you are in time and telling you of your grandiose future in God. That's what prophecy, it tells you your future. It's a prophetic word or a prophetic promise. That's not what's happening here. It's hugely important you discern the difference between prophecy, God's coming to you where you are. In the face of God, you go to where He is in the finished realm and He speaks. Or you speak now, because you've been given the authority of Christ, you speak from that finished place of done. You're moved there by the word, you speak by the word, it's finished there. It's where I actually eat from every day. There's a realm that I go to every day and I eat from that realm. I don't get there, then I don't eat that day. Because that's where all my manna is in that new realm, that finished realm. So now, what do we see here? In the battle of Jericho. The battle, this is a picture of how God wants dominion orchestrated in the last days. We'll see there's going to be return of the eyewitness. We see the face of God in full bloom. The battle is won before it's ever started. It's spoken from the finish line before it's ever started, just like the Lord. I can only do what I see my Father do. My Father worketh hitherto. Now I'm going to work. That's what was happening. My Father worketh. See, the walls have fallen. He already spoke it. Now he takes him back into time and they begin. That's how it's won. This is how this works. Now notice the components of what's there. We know the angels are there because he came out to meet him as the Lord of hosts. So the angels were there, but he said, seven priests do compass the city for 7 days. And they're blowing seven trumpets of ram's horns. And they're carrying the ark around the city. So the other day when I said this, I said, this is a perfect picture of the ark and the crown together. In Revelation 5, Carrie Job was singing about that. He's the lion of the tribe of Judah. He prevailed to open the book. He opens it as a lion, but as the lamb, he's been crowned, signifying a church age will be crowned. He is the first high priest, sits down to be crowned. He's a priest that sits upon a king's throne. He's both. Thus what we call king, priest, government. And then we see, what do we see on him? You hear it 1,000 times if you go to this church. Say 7 eyes and 7 horns. But you have to understand, that sounds weird. But the Lord is standing with 7 eyes upon him and 7 horns. But it's just the imagery of what's going on in the heavenlies. In the book of Revelations, we know horns means either kings or kingdoms. 7 is perfection, so there's this perfection of a kingly dominion that's upon him. It is actually a picture of dominion restored to a higher state than even Adam, because the Lord's sitting there as the last Adam. He restores the dominion, but God increases it and perfects it 7 times over. Going back to the days of Adam, we're actually moving forward in Christ to a perfection. The horns or trumpets is what you're seeing in Jericho with the 7 priests. Say 7 priests. They're circling Jericho with the 7 trumpets. And they're blowing the trumpets of Jubilee, it says, in the prolongation of the horns of the Jubilee. They're blowing a trumpet sound. It's the sound of Jubilee. Say Jubilee. What is Jubilee? Freedom from debt, indebtedness of sin, indebtedness of the lawlessness, indebtedness to finances, indebtedness to mammon, indebtedness. All debts canceled. It's a new day of inheritance. So we see the 7 priests that are surrounding Jericho. They represent the 7 trumpets that were in the crown. And then the 7 eyes, the priest. We even see, it's not the same Joshua that was with Zerubbabel. But we see upon Joshua's stone, there were 7 eyes in Zechariah 3. 7 eyes, you don't have to get crazy about it. It means perfection of wisdom, perfection of light, perfection of sight, perfection. I call it omnipresent omniscience. It's the ability to see everywhere in every dimension simultaneously. God has that authority and power. He can see past, present, and future. But he's going to share that because that's part of the makeup of the crown. There is a wisdom that's greater than what we're operating in. Just like there was a wisdom in Solomon's day that was greater than what he was operating in. When he went before the Lord, I don't know how to come in or go out to judge such a great people. Grant me wisdom, discernment. And then God gave him wisdom to change the planet. I'm going to say another wisdom, a greater wisdom. It's a perfected wisdom. It's the kind of stuff that the Lord walked in. He goes, do I not walk by the light of the day? The Lord could see everything. He could finish people's sentences. He knew when assignments were coming. He knew everything. You and I, we know the devil showed up after he smacked us over once or twice. He never walked into a trap. He always saw everything. He always knew where to be, where not to be. He could walk through crowds. This is the way he operated. He's going to give us this power. This omnipresent omission. So when it says the seven priests, they're representing the seven eyes of the Lord. They're representing the seven trumpets. And what are they doing? They're encompassing the city. They're surrounding the city. Crown means to surround. They're surrounding, they're encompassing. You see, God is crowning the city. He's getting ready for dominion. He's going to take it out of one jurisdiction and put it in another. By the time Jericho's done, it'll be under the jurisdiction of the kingdom of God. Amen? So the priests are encompassing Jericho. They're surrounding Jericho. It's a picture of the crown that's come down. And so you have the angelic host. They're swirling around. The chariots of fire. The Bible says our God cometh with fire and his chariots as a whirlwind. So we see the angelic host. They're surrounding. The priests are encompassing. There's the eyewitness testimony. There's the face of God. There's the ark, which is the glory of God. It represents the glory of the Father. Amen? The ark was the treasure of the nations. It was the glory manifested with them. So you see, the ark and the crown were together in Jericho. The angelic hosts were there. The eyewitness was there. The operation of the face of God was there. We call that perambulation. Well, you see all that. It's not just, hey, I gave you Jericho, get after it. It's a design of heaven of how dominion operates and functions into the earth. It's going to carve something out. When God said promised land, he didn't go and take the whole promised land in one day. He carved a circle around a place that was under total demonic control, and he encircled it. He encompassed, you'll encompass the city or surround the city. You'll circle the city. See, he was carving out a place in the land. Say, this is your first land. Let's carve it out. So you've seen us where we'll walk around the building. You're encircling. That's what we taught. God taught us how to do. Look from top down. You know your house is not so big when you're looking at it 150 feet above. If you're going to get something done, something move, it needs to be focused. They were not focusing on Mount Hebron at the time that they were taking Jericho down. They weren't focused in another realm of the promised land. They were focused on the place God told them to focus. It's a focused prayer. God has to hone you in on a specific mandate, a specific promise. If you don't have one, then you can fall back on what God has already said, the promises of your life. But there's something that needs to be circled, encompassed, that says, hey, this is heaven to me. This is what God said to me. This is the kingdom of God. Because there are things that are not going to move unless you're exercising right of dominion over it. Amen? So when it comes to our house or home or business or church, we draw the circle. Just like Jericho. Or promise, we draw the circle. I've got pages in my constitution of the house of all the promises, satellite photos drawn down over specific mandates God's given me. Every day when I'm praying and you hear, I'm actually in that circle. I'm not in La La Land, or I'm not way out here somewhere. I am in that circle. Amen? Say circle. I'm in that realm, and I see what God's doing. I see what he's saying, and I'm seeing it from a realm that's finished. Just like he did with Joshua. See, I have given. The walls of Jericho have fallen. You got to get to the place in prayer that the walls have fallen. Otherwise, you're going to be asking God from the wrong place. It's kind of like we did those years ago when I stood in the Jordan before I learned how to do this. I literally took the Constitution. I stood in the Jordan for 6 months. We just go in the Jordan every day. And Cody said something to me that one day. We were just praying and we'd go in the Jordan because we were waiting to be taken into the promised land. Because when he said this, it's what changed everything. He said, I don't think we're supposed to sit here anymore. I'm like, well, I mean, God's got to take us there. He goes, well, why don't we just walk over there? So we just started faith by no longer going to Jordan. We just started acting like we were going over to Jericho. That's what started all this. And all these revelations started opening as soon as we started stepping foot into a realm that God said that was ours. Well, I wasn't stepping a natural foot because it hadn't happened yet. Still to this day, it hadn't yet. But spiritually, it unlocked something. It unlocked the way I prayed. It unlocked everything. Because all my prayer at that point was waiting on God to do something. And I would get up to the edge and I'd rehearse the whole constitution before him. And I would sit there and it's like, okay, here I am. Take us over. Time for commissioning. Time for the eyewitness. Time to come get us from this Jordan. And every time I would arrive at the same stuck place, every day I would pray and receive nothing. And I'd get to the same place every day. I mean, that was the extent of my prayer time. And I thought, okay, I'm doing my spiritual duty. I'm rehearsing the Constitution. God's going to come get us. And 1 year passed, another year passed, you know, and so on. Then what happened there? And if you ever learn to do this, your prayer life is going to change because you're going to pray differently. And all of a sudden, that next day, we get to the Jordan. Where were we walking? We were walking in the imagery of God's word. We walked over Jericho. We were in the promised land. See, I have given started showing up. All of us there. And all of a sudden, I could see surround the city. That's where all the circles and you start to get all those teachings of the plumb line, the revelation of the plumb line, this map, the understanding of how this works. And we could see, and suddenly what happened was I got liberated because not only can I walk in Jericho, I walked beyond Jericho. I kept doing it every day. I was walking out into a promise, and the promise, believe it or not, started exploding on the other side. It got greater and greater and greater. And every time I walked out there, it got more vivid, more real. And it started feeding me from an invisible realm. When I get out there, I started having encounters in this realm of promise. I'm like, oh, this is awesome. I would come back so full, so filled, so energized. I'm like, this is awesome. Well, what happened? Nothing. In this realm, nothing. But in that realm, something did happen. Something was changing on the inside of me. Something in that realm was, my spirit was opening to that realm. I could see. I could feel. I was feeling. I was eating spiritually from something that hadn't manifested yet. And I was learning, watch this, how to receive of the promise before it ever showed up. Receiving it, clothed, touching, tasting, feeling. And you would think it would wane, but it wouldn't. It kept growing bigger and bigger and bigger. And you could hear me talk about perambulation. And you'd hear me talking about how God paints. See, your spirit is a canvas. And God paints upon that canvas. And you don't know what all he's going to do till you get over there. Because the Father has his thoughts toward you more numerous than the sand of the sea. So I'd get out there. His thoughts were unloading on that realm. He had a whole creative day planned that I had no idea. Now I walk out there and I still eat from that day. I still eat from the same place. I still partake. It still feeds me and fills me. And I walk out with glory because it's coming out of the Father. It's got glory on it. The same glory it had 3 years ago, the same glory it has now. It's what it keeps doing. But the design, what I want to say more than anything, if you didn't get anything out of the night, if you learn to get out of your Jordan and move over and walk out of your promise and start seeing. People are so afraid to do that. They're so afraid we're going to miss it or I'm going to be selfish or I can't do this, can't do that. Stop defeating yourself before you even get anything done. Just go after your heart's desire. God inherently puts your heart's desire inside of you. Go walk it out. What does it look like? What does it taste like? Does it feel like all that realm is living? It's alive. It's from the realm of God. It's from the realm of his heart. He's a living God. Amen? And as you can step over into that realm, you can start living out a day before you ever live the day out. Just like the Lord, I can only do what I see my Father doing. I already know what this new day looks like, at least a big portion, the first part of it, I really know what he wants to do. I've been doing it so long. In his future, he had mysteries embedded in there. That as I kept going in there, he'd open something up from his word and go, that's what I want to do at that place right there. And I'm like, whoa. And it gets very large. You find your life has meaning. It has impact. But it's a tremendous way to pray. It's an amazing, amazing way to pray if you learn to get over into that realm of God. And I'll tell you this, and I'm going to close with this. The most effective way to do this, don't make it difficult. Go step out into your heart's desire. Your eye of your heart can see in dimensions far greater than your natural eyes can. It can see the Father's realm. It sees what the Father does. If you get that eye with the Word of God and let the Word of God fill that eye with light, fill it up with light, you'll start seeing. I can't wake up a single day without the crown sitting in the forefront of my heart. That's all I see. It's all I talk about. That's who we are. We're crown. That's who we are. We're called to speak of the crown. Because that's the word we carry. Amen? If you'll let your heart and the eye of your heart start moving in the frequency of God, you'll be amazed what God will show you. He'll surprise you. He'll keep it full. When nothing's happening here, he'll keep that realm full for you. So you can walk back in that realm and say, ha, hallelujah. Amen. There's got to be a place you put your promise. Let's give God glory. Hallelujah.